Oh, so good to see you, Hidden Nation. Welcome into the studio. You got Josh Carey right here. It's your Hidden Entrepreneur. Thank you for tuning in to 710 WOR, the voice of New York. We're sitting here right on that iHeartRadio network. Do download that free iHeartRadio app for all kinds of entertainment, both in the spoken word, like this one, and the music genre, across all genres you can imagine. Hidden Nation, we have a great, great, dare I say, important episode for you, and you're going to quickly understand why it's so important in a minute. I'm joined by our guest, who is the author of the new book on becoming a critical thinker, Awakening Your Business Superpower. It's John Chetrozivos. And let me tell you, you can get this book right now on Amazon or wherever you get your books. And on Becoming a Critical Thinker is a comprehensive guide that equips readers, get this, with the essential skills to analyze information, make informed decisions, and solve complex problems. Is there anything more important than that? To help us answer that question, it's our guest, John. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Josh. That sounds great. I'll buy it.
Thank you for that. So I love that phrase, on becoming a critical thinker. First of all, what does that word or that term actually mean? Critical thinking. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, you know, this, well, I've had two lives. I was a CEO in behavior health, and then I left that to become an academic. And every university catalog says the student will become a critical thinker at the end. Syllabi are peppered with the word critical thinking, and I've never heard anyone define it for the poor student. So that's always kind of bothered me, you know, and in my own classes when I was teaching, I certainly spent some time on that. But it kind of hit me. I did, I was a dean of a few graduate programs at a university, and I was changing the curriculum. So I went out and I talked to business leaders in the region, and I was saying, what do people need to learn? And what came back to me was, they don't know how to think. And I thought, bingo. So what colleges said they were going to do, they maybe weren't as successful as they thought. So I dedicated some of my time and life to write about it. And, you know, maybe I could help people bridge that gap and find out what is critical thinking and how could it help me.
So what is it? How does it differ what from just it? Thinking? I'm thinking right now. Is that not critical?
Well, you know, that's the problem, is that I think of the American pragmatists, and they had a statement years ago. It's not so much what people think is wrong, it's people don't know how to think. And, you know, we get clouded with biases where, you know, we trial and error, and it's how we live most of our life. And then we have thinking, you know, most of us are living in the stream of consciousness thinking. You're driving down the road, you go by a house. Hey, I used to play at that house when I was a little kid. What would happen to that guy? Hey, it's my brother's birthday. That's where we have that monkey mind that's jumping around everywhere.
Sure.
The critical thinking is taking that step back. It's kind of stopping and analyzing what's there, coming to an evaluation, looking at the possible pathways to solve something, and then even realizing, I like to use the term, they are not the be-all, end-all. They are where we think it is now. We might have to adjust. But being more mindful of that, and what's interesting, there's a number of tools that could help us, and tools are great. But it really comes down to practicing and transforming the way we think about situations, others that we manage, decisions we have to make.
It sounds like, from what I've read of your work and even what you hinted at here, it sounds like you have to be self-aware, and you involve mindset quite frequently in this approach, yep. Don't you? How does that land?
Well, how that lands is, I, you know, again, I think it's what we look at the difference in some of the work that Carol Dweck did that's absolutely mm-hmm. wonderful, and the fixed mindset or the growth mindset. And so many of us, I think, are in a fixed mindset. And, you know, I even look when in my long list of time spent in school, I also did an MBA degree. And I always think of this, how Every problem worked out neatly in the textbook, you know. The 2x2 matrix just always worked. And then I'd go to work on Monday because I went to an executive program, and then I was facing those problems, and the situation didn't work out. And I think that we teach fixed mindset when you have to be open to so many things. You have to look at all the possibilities. You have to look at all the people involved. You have to know those people. You have to be able to build a relationship with them, and then that relationship with self. How do I use my curiosity to get stronger, to get better, do my job better, or I'm not even sure better is the word. You know, do my job and take it seriously. And beyond that, the other thing I think with the growth mindset that I've been really interested in lately is the lack of curiosity people have. Does something make us curious, or are we just going through the habits? In the book, I talk a lot about automatic thinking, and we rely on that far too much. You know, tying our shoes, adding 5 + 5, it's all automatic. But we need to be more intentional and can't just rely on habit. And why we do that, you know, your brain only comprises 2% of your body weight, but takes up about 25% of your energy. So we need habits and shortcuts, but they can be dangerous.
Do you find that those in the C-suite or those who are responsible for making the right decision or a decision at all, do they sometimes resist this notion of curiosity or the notion of a growth mindset?
I think some do. I think the good ones don't, you know, and you know, usually if I'm coming in to consult to a company, it's people that want you to be there, I usually have a growth mindset. I worry about the ones that don't call on people to help them out. I mean, they're gonna do it themselves, they're gonna kind of go their own route. So yeah, I think that's I think we could all be better at it.
Does this book extend past the executive business community?
You know, I think it does. And I've done a couple trainings with the content of the book recently. And I found that people were saying, wow, this could also help me in my personal life. There's a part of the book that I'm really fascinated with. And I wish I could do more on this. I wish I knew more about this. And it's what we're calling, you know, interpersonal neurobiology, that the way we relate to ourselves and others, and I get into this book a little bit. We have our brain is what's called the triune brain. It has three pieces. And evolution has not been kind to us. We have what's known as a kludge. And a kludge is an old naval term for a workaround. And so we have the reptilian brain, and that's where we get our fight, flight, freeze. We have the mammalian brain, where we get things like empathy. But then we have the neocortex, which is only present in humans and a few primates. And unfortunately, the three brains don't work together well. So sometimes I get angry and I want to use my reptilian brain. It feels good in the moment. And so my mantra has been use your neocortex. You know, think this one through. And I think that certainly applies in the world of business. It certainly applies in our personal life as well.
It does, and it takes effort, right? It takes you have to, in essence, train yourself. And like we said earlier, you got to become more aware, right? We all
Aware.
might have a reaction, but we have to be able to, and sometimes it's difficult, but it's not unheard of to be able to feel anger or even aggression in a moment and still be able to, before you respond, to take a step back and think it through. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And the thing I learned when I was a manager was that time was on my side.
Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, take an employee who's done something wrong. Wrong or not the best choice.
Sure.
And you know, when I was a young manager, my reaction was, you know, to, you know, hell, let him have it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to tolerate that and blah blah blah. I found and again, I was doing a lot with critical thinking years ago, was that it was a great time to tell the employee what happened was not what either one of us wanted. Let's meet tomorrow. Let's give it some thought. And come back and do this. Well, one thing that happened is I would tell you 9 times out of 10 that I did that. People would come, I know what I did wrong and I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. What else did I want? I didn't need to tell them off or threaten their job or their livelihood.
Unless your ego got in the way. That's a whole
Yeah,
different
if your ego
story,
gets in
isn't
the way,
it?
but then all you get is resentment and anger.
Yeah.
And what I got a lot of times, it actually helped me build better relationships with people. That, you were fair. I want to thank you. And like, wow. I mean, you do get that one stubborn person. Like, I'll stand by it. Well, okay. And human nature is a funny thing, but majority of people are going to respond. And I think we have to remember, as a manager, we have time on our side. We don't have to shoot from the hip.
Do you find that from your years working in business, it almost seems like it shifted, right? Like some decades ago, it almost seemed like by default, not necessarily for the better, that there was a, hey, my way, only my way,
Right.
changed.
Oh, absolutely. I think we saw that. When people started thinking, I always think of Peter Senge's book, The Fifth Discipline. Really influenced a lot of us, that the servant leader, the person that's there. I think we went from, I certainly learned that I wasn't the star of the show. What I was the director. Let the employees be the
I
star
love
of the
that.
show.
Love that.
Make sure the lights are on, the playbills are printed, the tickets are sold. That was my job. Let them take the stage and get the limelight. And that, again, I think that's part of critical thinking, is that it's not about, like you said, ego. And so many young managers make that mistake.
Yeah, so Hidden Nation, you're tuned into my conversation with John Chetro Zivos, the author of On Becoming a Critical Thinker: Awakening Your Business Superpower. And again, this is a comprehensive guide that helps you with the essential skills to analyze information, make informed decisions, and solve complex problems. Available on Amazon or wherever you get your books, soon to be on Audible. Tell me about this.
Yeah, it should be, the recording should be done April 7th, so that's this weekend. And then it should hit Audible pretty shortly right after that. I'm not narrating, so those of you that might not like my voice, don't worry. There's a better voice coming.
But that's a
And
good
I
example of like we're saying, like everyone should know their role, right? Like a director, a
absolutely.
manager, like know what you do well.
And I think I run allergies all year long, so I have this nasally voice. So I'm going to save people the time of that. And so I found someone who's got a great voice, great expression, the tone to keep you interested. And I think it's going to be a great audio book. I think it's the kind a business leader or someone who just wants to learn about critical thinking would enjoy driving in the car or going to the gym, taking a walk. It's got some gems in it, I believe. But of course, I have a bias on that. That could be helpful.
What was the biggest thing you learned of all this while writing this book?
The thing that I really learned, and I love telling this story, years ago, I was in China doing some series of lectures at a medical school. And every day I would walk into this room. There was beautiful Chinese characters carved in wood over the door. And I asked the interpreter, "What does that say?" And he said, "Oh, this is the Hall of Mental Cultivation." And I thought, wow, that's not a classroom. But what it really told me, and I thought about it, is it's transformation, and that the quest to learn more is the quest to transform the self. And we don't know what that self is going to be. And in fact, think about when you go to college or wherever, a training program, you think it's going to be this, and then you got something else. And most of the time, we had no idea the value of it. So I think what I learned about this book is getting that the whole idea of transformation takes practice, it takes patience. I think anyone can learn to be a critical thinker. That's the really good news if they're conscious of it.
And what is the first step? What is the theme of really excelling at being a good critical thinker? How do we judge
It
ourselves
starts with the
through it?
small things. Maybe it's reading an email before you send it, thinking, what would the consequence of this be? Maybe it's, and it's not paralysis. I mean, we don't want to do that either. That's just deadly. But it's being more mindful to set your day. What are the things I'm going to accomplish with this day I was given? What are the things that have to get done? What are the things I need to work on? What is my self-development plan? In fact, I wrote another piece, a journal article on the deliberately developmental organization, DDOs, they're called. In that you identify what it is you're working on, what's your weakness, what they call an edge, and you share it with your team. And so when I was a dean, I would share it with my program leaders, and they shared theirs, and it made us somewhat vulnerable. But we would call each other on it. You know, that you said you're going to have more integrity, let's say. Are you doing this in a way that is ethical and in the best way possible? So I think, you know, when we get to transformation, we got to think of what is it I want to accomplish. Look at the small stuff first, the email, the conversation in the hallway, the empathy for and compassion for our employees, our consumers, and other ways I can do this better. And then talking to peers or mentors that you have, you know, and getting that feedback. And sometimes that feedback hurts.
Sure does. And this isn't for either right-brained or left-brained either, you think could approach this?
I'm not a right brain believer. I think we have brains that don't work all that well. But I think it's either.
Did
You
you
know,
just say we have brains that don't work all that well?
they don't work that well. Like I was talking about the clues, you know, and it's.
Yeah. So you see some not fault, but you see some ways that we have a ways to go in
We
our.
have a ways to go. You know, I'd love to come back 50,000 years from now, and I think you'll see that neocortex is going to be so much stronger and so much better. Evolution has a way of fixing things. That's my hope. And I think, you know, we're new in this, you know, relatively new in this as Homo sapiens. And, you know, we've got a long way to go. You know, here's the thing that's interesting. I did my PhD in communication. I focused on organizational communication. And I find this funny. If you look at communication, we have great devices. Look at you and I talking over Zoom and recording, and people can hear this when they want. But we're having the same stupid fights from the beginning of time and conflict, and we don't know how to talk to each other any better.
We're
And I
having
think
what? Say that again.
we're the same conflicts we've always had, you know, wars and inequities and dissatisfaction, not knowing how to resolve a conflict. These are the real essence of thinking and of using our communication effectively. And in fact, my next book coming out is called Speak Like a Leader. I'm working on that now, and hopefully it'll be done by the summer. And it's leaders have a lot to their advantage. You know, one thing I love is we always operate in a context. And when you're talking to an employee, it's okay to use the context marker. You know, we're not, and as horrible as this might sound, we're not always equal. I'm institutionally required to make sure you get this job done. So speaking to you now as, you know, the CFO or whoever it might be, I need this to get done today. So there's nothing unfair or unjust about that. We're really coming at it from a, this is what we need to do. And coordinating people to do that is not easy. I mean, there's so many obstacles get in the way.
I've learned that so often we get on our own way. With those obstacles. But we'll leave it there for this time around. John, certainly we could talk for so long. Love the angle and the mind and the brain you have, even if it still has a ways to go.
Yeah, it's
Thank
got
you
a
so
ways to
much.
go. But I'm trying, Josh.
We all are. That's all we can do, right?
That's right.
Well, thank you, Hidden Nation, for tuning in for my conversation with John Chetro Zivos, the author of On Becoming a Critical Thinker, Awakening Your Business Superpower, available on Amazon and Audible. Go check it out. I want to thank you for tuning in, spending and investing your time. Get out there, do the good work, be seen, step into your greatness. As always, we're going to do this again before too long. Until we do, take care. Be well.